Morning. Thank you for that, Matt. I requested that song, and that song is really special to me. It's calming in a way, but also just so exciting. And I feel like it fits into what we're going to talk about this morning. And if you know me, I love the subject of missions, and it's just something that's captured my heart. So a couple of months ago when we were thinking about Mission Sunday and the sermons leading up to it, I just had to jump in there and say, yeah, I want to do one of these because I believe it's just something that God has touched my heart with that I want to share with other people. And I want to first start off reading from Revelations. And this is kind of, I think, where the idea of this Revelation song comes from. So we'll be in Revelations chapter 7, verses 9 through 12, if you have your Bible. After these things, I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could count, from every nation and all tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, and palm branches were in their hands. And they cry out with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." And I think this is something that we get to look forward to. At the end result of missions, we get this beautiful picture of what God's going to do. All the nations, all the tongues, all the peoples gather together, and they finally get to be in the presence of God. They finally get to be in the presence of Jesus, and they just worship Him. And it's just this awesome scene that we get to see the future of. We get to be inspired by this. As we work towards that goal, we can say, this is what I'm working for. This is what I want to see. I want to share a story this morning. We've been going through some parables on Sunday morning, and I've got kind of a parable, I think, will kind of frame the things we talk about this morning. But there's a rich man, he's a business owner, and he's got two daughters who works for him. And he brings his two daughters in to the office, and he says, "I have an assignment for you. I'm going to give you 2 weeks, and I want you to go out and hire as many people for as many positions as you can over these 2 weeks." So the two daughters are very excited, right? Their father has given them something special to do, something meaningful, something he trusts them to do well. So they walk out of the office. The first daughter reasons to herself, "I know we have great jobs here, and I know there's plenty of people out there who want these jobs. This should be a pretty easy deal for me to do. I think I'll be able to hire plenty of people." And the second daughter reasons to herself, "Well, I don't know how well I'm going to do, but my father's asked me to do this, so I'm going to do this the best that I can. Even if I face some hardships, I'm going to continue to do it for these 2 weeks because he asked me." So 2 weeks pass, and he brings them back into the office, and he asks, "Well, how did it go?" And he's eager, he's smiling, ready to hear the things that they're ready to share. And that first daughter, she says, "Father, I'm going to be honest. It didn't go that great. I brought people in. They had the qualifications. I knew they needed the job. But when we started talking about salary and the compensation and the days they would have to work and these kinds of things, a lot of them just, they rejected it. They weren't interested. And it got me frustrated because I knew they needed the job. I knew that they needed to be a part of this, and I was inviting them to be a part, but they just rejected it." The second daughter spoke up and said, "Father, I faced similar situations. People didn't always agree with everything. And I would have given up after that first week, but the second week I decided I was going to talk about you. Tell them what it was like to work with you. Tell them the type of person you were. And I just continued to do it because I knew it would honor you, that you had asked me to do this thing." And that second week, there were some people who came on. They decided to be a part of this. So I don't know about you, motivation for me is a fickle thing. It's something that's difficult to capture. And one time when you're motivated by something, you can be not motivated by that same thing at a different point in your life. So, for example, recently, about the past 2 years, I've put on about 5 extra pounds that I'm not used to. And so I've been trying to get back those 5 pounds, trying to get back to the weight I'm used to. And, you know, I just don't have the same motivation as I used to for doing that. Okay, now I'm like, well, you're getting close to 30. You know, no one's going to notice those 5 pounds. You're going to be a dad. No one's going to body shame you for having a dad bod. It's okay to gain those 5 pounds, right? And I'm kind of struggling, right? I mean, I'm not going to be in some type of competition where I have to be a certain weight. I'm not going to be boxing anytime soon. You know, so I'm struggling trying to figure out what motivation there is for me to lose that 5 pounds. And I got to be honest, like when we have Krispy Kreme donuts in the youth room this morning, it is hard to find a motivation to not eat one of those, right? And we have motivations or reasons for all the things that we do if we look at our lives. We have motivations or reasons for why we come to church, why we want to be a good parent, why we want a 4.0 GPA, why we want a scholarship. Everything, we have some type of motivation or reason. And I think we can also agree that some motivations are better than others. Okay, so if you come to church out of a sense of obligation, that's your motivation, that's obviously not as great as you want to come here to worship God. You want to come to hear from God. If your motivation for going to work is just so you don't get fired, okay, that's not as great a motivation as because you love that job. If your motivation for giving is sense of obligation rather than giving for a cheerful heart, obviously the cheerful heart is the greater and better motivation. So I want to ask you to think about this, and maybe you've not thought about this before, but what's your motivation for ministry? What's your motivation for mission? And maybe you've never thought about that, or maybe it immediately popped in your head as soon as you thought about it. And I want to tell you, I think, 2 motivations we can look at this morning, and hopefully you'll see that one is better than the other. And the first, I'll tell you personally, when I got into missions, this was my motivation. And if you have this motivation, I'm not trying to step on your toes or saying you're incorrect. I think it is a good motivation. But mine was, there's just so many lost people out there, so many people who are going to die and go to hell because they don't know Jesus. And that really affected me. That really bothered me. And one of the reasons I picked China was because there were just so many people out there, right? And if I could just be a drop in the bucket to help people to know Jesus, that it would make a difference. And I feel like that's a motivation that a lot of us have. That's common. But I want you to think about something. And this is that mission is temporal and that worship is eternal. Okay, that picture that we read in Revelation, there's no missionaries there. The mission work is completed. So our motivation can't just be mission in of itself because it ends, okay? But what remains is that worship. From since the beginning of time, even into all eternity, there will be worship of our God. And I want to propose to you that the worship of our God is much better motivation for us to go out and to seek the lost. This is in Psalm 19, 1 and 2. And I'm going to read this. The heavens are telling of the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the work of his hands. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. Psalms 19, 1 through 2. And I get this picture of, you know, even in that song we just sang, all of creation sings. And I get this picture of creation singing just how glorious and how awesome God is. I mean, you think about it, God could have just created the earth, the sun, and the moon, because those are the things we need. But instead, he just went totally overboard on the creation scale, and he creates all these planets, all these galaxies, and just, I mean, crazy things. And why would he do something like that except for us to be in total awe of the things that he can do and see that and praise him for it? And I just love this picture of this, that creation singing out to him, that everything we see is just in worship of him. And I love when Jesus is going to Jerusalem and people are laying down the palm branches and they're praising him, and the Pharisees begin to grumble and try to rebuke him, and they say, "Jesus, why don't you stop these disciples?" And Jesus says, "Man, if I stop these guys, the stones are going to cry out and worship me." So there's this awesome picture of just the worship of all creation. And I want us to look next at what Jesus valued. And Jesus, I mean, no doubt, he was the greatest missionary. And we're going to look at his prayer, because I believe the things that we pray for are important to us. If I could see your prayers, I would see what's important to you. You know, if you're praying for your marriage, you're praying for your kids, maybe a financial situation or maybe a health situation, you bring the things that are most important to God because you believe he can take care of them. They're those things that are so important to you. So we're going to look at a section of the Lord's Prayer and kind of look to see what does Jesus find important. So you're familiar with the Lord's Prayer, and we're not going to go over the whole thing. I just want to highlight these first three things that Jesus talks about and prays for to see his motivation and mission, to see what he valued when he was on earth as a missionary. So, "Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come." So, "Our Father who is in heaven." First, Jesus starts off the prayer acknowledging who he's talking to. Okay, this is the Father, the creator of all creation, someone you can have a relationship. He uses a relational term, Father. And he's not praying to Mother Earth, or he's not praying to some unknown force. He is praying to a specific person. He's praying to someone that his ancestors, Abraham and Moses and all these people, worshipped. So he talks about someone specific. The second thing he says is, "Hallowed be your name." And I know hallowed's a weird term that we don't use today, but it essentially means holy, or talking about being holy. And this is actually the first request that Jesus makes. He first identifies he's talking to God, and then his first request is, "God, may your name be holy." And this is the worship we're talking about. To be holy means to be set apart, to be totally separate from all things that exist. And Jesus is saying, "God, that's what I want most, is that your name be holy." And then he says, "Your kingdom come." So he acknowledges who God is. He says, "God, I want your name to be holy. I want it to be above anything else. I want us to worship you." And then he says, "Your kingdom come." And many times we get the order mixed up. We want the kingdom to come and we want people to worship. But what if we're supposed to be worshiping and bringing in people to the kingdom? So at this point, you may think, okay, we're supposed to worship God, but what does that really look like? You know, I'm not a missionary, or I don't feel like I have a ministry. But I do want to say you all have a ministry. You all have a mission field. And this is what I think it looks like. This is something that Paul tells the people in Rome. And I believe this is what we can all take hold of this morning. He says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." Our whole life is supposed to be about worship. As we live that life as a living sacrifice, we get to worship God. And I feel like a lot of times people don't come to church because there's a disconnect between what we call worship in here and what we live out there. And if we could worship from Saturday all the way through the rest of the week, coming back to Sunday, would there not be a better connection? Because when people say, I'm going to church to worship God, but the rest of the week we don't see them worshiping God, why did they want to come here to learn about this God? We have to live this out in all of our lives. We have to think of everything as an act of worship. And when that happens, people will come to you. People want to worship this God, and they'll see you worshiping and want to ask you about it. Many times, I think about the times I've prayed the Lord's Prayer. I picked this picture of two football teams coming together to pray, and I don't know what they prayed, but I just used this picture. It reminded me. A lot of times when I was playing football, every Friday, we would go to the field house. And, you know, we'd be in the field house for hours before the game, making sure we had our cleats, you know, making sure we had all our pads and all that kind of stuff. And we'd just sit there and try to get in the right frame of mind. And we'd sit there and then come to this point where we'd put on our pads, put on our cleats, and we'd all circle up and huddle up. Everybody put a hand on somebody, and we'd say the Lord's Prayer. But then right after that, you know, we'd be like, let's go rip this guy's head off, right? And that was just a ritual we did. We prayed the Lord's Prayer, and then we went out and played football. And it's like, we pray the Lord's Prayer, and then it's over. It's right to the next thing. So what would it look like if we actually prayed the Lord's Prayer and meant it? What would that look like for our jobs? What would that look like for our families, for our friends, our government, our nation, our world? I think it would have a huge impact on everything that we know. I think it would change this whole world if we were able to pray that and to live it out. And this morning, I'm going to try something a little bit different as we close. And it's kind of like a guided prayer. So remember those parts of the Lord's Prayer? Basically, we're going to pray this together, but so what we'll do is I'll pray the first part, Our Father who is in heaven, and I just want you to spend some time actually praying that to God, okay? I don't want you to just repeat it over and over and over, but I want you to use that as kind of the guide for your prayer towards God. And then I'll say the next part, and I'll give you some time to pray. And I'll say the final part and give you some time to pray. So if you would, just bow with me, and we'll pray. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Father, we just want to thank you this morning for giving us this wonderful opportunity to join you in an effort that you care dearly about, so much so that you would send your Son to die for us, Lord. And we just want to honor that the best way we can, God. We know that He gave up His life for us. Help us to lay down our lives for others. Help us to live a life of worship, God. Help us not to get deterred by people who reject us. Lord, help us to have love for those people. God, give us the tools we need to be able to reach out and touch the world around us. Father, we thank You that You didn't give up on us. God, help us not to give up on the world. Help us to continue to keep going. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. If you have a need this morning, a spiritual need, you'd like someone to pray for you, or if you would even like to be baptized to come into this kingdom with us, we ask that you do that as we stand and sing.